Hey, friend. Welcome back to Houston Made, a show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. In this episode, I continue my conversation with my very good friend, Bob Sutton, the co-owner and founder of Statesman Beverage Company, a company that makes fantastic simple syrups that make having a craft cocktail at home as simple as can be. If you didn't catch the first part of my conversation with Bob, I'd invite you to go back and listen to that. It's episode 4. In that episode, we talk about how his company was born out of a Thanksgiving rejection, how he decided to bring on a partner at the very beginning, and lessons he's learned about selling in market communities. Today's episode is sponsored by Victoria Garcia Studios, a local full-service photography studio that specializes in personal brand photography. If you are a business owner or an entrepreneur, having purposeful brand photography can make all the difference in your ability to connect with your target demographic. So stay tuned after the episode to learn how Victoria Garcia Studios can help you stand out in your industry through high-quality on-brand photography. Now listen in as Bob and I discuss the beauty of creating something new, learning to say no to new things for the sake of our main thing, and how people can absolutely do what we're doing if you're willing to do the work.
People maybe know that because they want to make money, but the competence of like, yeah, no, if you've got a quality product, charge for quality, because people care more about quality than they do getting a garbage product for cheap.
So. Yeah, I think that's probably a really common theme with anybody who's charging money and getting started, because I think it goes back to the imposter syndrome thing.
Yeah.
And I know when I started in real estate, I remember you and I hanging out pretty early on, within the first 3 to 6 months, somewhere around there. And I actually felt like I was a little bit of a kicked dog in that conversation, because you were like, how's it going? And I think you were expecting me to be like, oh, it's so great. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know about all this. And a part of it was, at the time, it didn't make sense for me to make the money that I was making or that I was projected to make. Realtors make a lot of money. There's a lot of money in real estate. And there's a pretty low barrier of entry, which is why I think that the stereotype of kind of the used car salesman-y type of realtor exists, because there is a lot of money in real estate. Over the years, I have learned that I do provide a lot of value. And starting out, maybe I didn't provide as much value, honestly. And because I've had clients that were really gracious with me and allowed me to learn, and I had people in the industry who were willing to teach me, I really have saved my clients tens of thousands of dollars. I have helped them get houses for cheaper. I've helped them to sell their houses for more. I've helped them stay out of legal battles. And then when I start adding all of those things up and start now with a few years of experience, having sold millions and millions of dollars of homes in the Houston market, I now actually feel pretty confident being able to say, this is how it goes. This is the best practice. And I can say that not just because somebody told me, but because I know. And now I feel fully confident in being able to say, hey, like 3% of this transaction. And I get that the market may change, and I don't know, like, if that may not be viable forever, and we'll see what happens in the real estate industry. But for the time being, I feel much more confident. And I imagine that most people starting out at a market, they go, well, I just made this in my bedroom. Like, right? Like on my floor. I went to the store and I made it. And it reminds me a little bit of the first time I made beer at home with a buddy. He brought all the stuff over, the grain, the corn, and all the sugar and yeast and stuff that goes into it. And we're in our kitchen, right? Just like in the kitchen. And we pour water into a pot, and then we boil it, and we start steeping all of these things. And it occurred to me, I was like, oh, so beer is just tea? Like, you're taking these giant tea bags of wheat and grit, well, whatever you're putting in your hops, and you're putting it in the water and you're steeping it. And then you're going to let it ferment with some sugar and yeast. And then it becomes beer. And growing up in the South, and I wasn't raised in like all that conservative of a home, but being in the South in kind of somewhat Christian circles, alcohol and beer had this stigma. And like I always understood like you could do it, but there were some people who would think really bad of you if you drank. And then I went to a private Christian college. So like drinking was like of the devil. And I remember making, when we made beer, two things happened. One, on one hand, I go, oh, that's it. Like, that's all it is. Like, you just do these things. You put some water together and you have beer. Mm-hmm. And two, like on the other side of that coin, I was just in awe of the beauty of the process, of how something so simple can turn into something so elegant, how mm-hmm. you can kind of just throw some things together. And then the buddy that I did it with was an avid beer brewer and he loved it. And so he knew all the intricacies of, if we add just a little bit more of this and change the recipe in this way, you get these profiles and these notes. And I imagine that same experience is probably what happens to a lot of people who are making anything that they're going to sell to somebody, is they go, wait, but all I'm doing is XYZ.
Right.
And yet at the same time, they end up creating something amazing. I mean, candles are that way. I feel like candles are a saturated market. I don't know that I would personally recommend to anybody that they go start making their own candles as a viable right. business strategy. And yet you could do it and you could make candles that are unique and interesting and special and magical in a certain way that inspires people to buy it. And they say, yeah, I want those candles instead of all of the other candles that are out there.
Right.
I imagine most makers need someone to come along and say, don't you see what you have? Right. Don't you see right. that this is something?
Yeah.
And that moment is a big deal. And so it seems like Lewis maybe was a little bit of that for you. And then really across your journey, there were these little people coming in, whether it was coworkers or friends that were saying, hey man, like this is a thing.
Right. Yeah. I think so. A part of the growth journey for me has kind of, even now after 4 years, my favorite part of the job, if you can call it a job, my favorite part of the company is still what got me started experimenting in the first place. It's in the kitchen and it's still where I love to be. I that's maybe my favorite part of being a CEO of a cocktail mixer company, is I still experiment. I have tons of sugars and different spices and, all that stuff in my kitchen. And so you can find me on random days, evenings during the week or on the weekend, where I'm just in there mixing like a mad scientist, trying to come up with some new, experimental but great flavors. I really respect our mutual friend Tony Lerman with El Topo, and having eaten food from El Topo many times now, he is a master of finding combinations of flavors that I would never ever put together that are just insanely delicious. There's this mad scientist, but also like it's the act of creation, it's like, yeah, before you had all these pieces and then you were the one who orchestrated and put them together to create something special. I think, yeah, anyone who's considering starting something new, if you want to do candles, that's fine. Yeah. Just make sure that your candles are great. I think it's, especially in the world of small makers, quality is always kind of the key. Something that sparked when we were talking is, you asked about significant events. One of the things that I realized, that Holly and I both realized, we applied to be a part of HEB's Quest for Texas Best, where basically they find local or Texas food companies, that throw their name in the hat or hat in the ring to, say, hey, we're one of the best small businesses making a food product. It's kind of an incubator, kind of a competition. And out of 870 some entries, we were one of 10 that got selected and went into this kind of week-long really education/competition where we, on the last day, we did a 25-minute pitch in front of the food writer for the Houston Chronicle and a bunch of the senior execs for HEB, including the COO and There were a lot of food bloggers and stuff like that were there. We didn't end up winning the big prizes, but just a tremendous education on what it takes to become a company, a food company specifically, to move into the grocery space. And it actually forced us to realize that there's a difference between what we do, what product we make, and then the grocery space. And one of the reasons why we didn't win, we came to find out later, was because our price is too high. HEB is a value and values based company. That's their family run business. Love HEB. They're incredible. But people that shop at HEB are typically looking for deals. And during the process, we were invited to get our product into HEB. We've talked to their buyers over the course of 6 months and still have a great relationship with them. But what we didn't want to do was bring our price down. And a part of that is because we feel, number one, we're not a mass production company. And maybe eventually we will get a bigger producer for us to create more. But there's a difference between luxury retail and grocery. Grocery is a race to the cheapest you can get a product. Food is the most stable and safe business you can be in, but the margins are razor thin, which is why grocery stores are so big. We were in Williams-Sonoma in the Houston markets and in Dallas, and that is probably more of our client, more of our customer, because we do put so much emphasis on quality that we don't want to compromise and buying cheaper sugars and buying cheaper spices and other ingredients. I mean, the reason why our mojito simple syrup is popular is because we actually squeeze lemons, fresh lemons. We don't use lemons from concentrate. We don't buy lemon juice. We create lemon juice by squeezing lemons. And we use fresh mint that actually we crush into the mix and then have to filter out the leaves so that we can actually use that product. So those processes are very human. And you know, we don't want to turn to a mass produced product that would ultimately, you know, lose the flavor, lose the value, or the quality that we've created.
Yeah. I've been always shocked and surprised by the referrals that I get whenever people refer me as a realtor to sell or buy a house. It's realtors say this, like they say it a lot, like this is the biggest compliment you can give me is a referral. And they're just fishing for referrals. Yeah. But at the same time, I've been always so moved by it because it's, you know, usually it comes with, yeah, of course I recommend you because of X, Y, Z. And they usually list some really nice characteristics of myself, which I appreciate. And for me, I don't go into it saying, oh, if I'm nice to these people, maybe they'll give me a referral.
Right.
I go into it and say, no, I'm going to be the best version of myself and I'm going to take the best care of these clients because that's my value. And in the same way, it sounds like you guys say, no, we want to create this amazing product that's truly good. And in order to stay true to that integrity, you have to say no to some things and say, yeah, okay, so maybe the grocery market isn't for us in this season. Maybe down the road we figure that out. But saying no to what could be that might lessen the product seems like the right path forward in this season.
Yeah. It's also the reason why it's taken us as long to come out with only two products. Like, I mean, it was within the first few months of the company. It's like, hey, when are you going to come out with a whole product line of, you know, eight syrups? And that's been a huge challenge is that, you know, yeah, we definitely could crank out syrups that are more or less easy to crank out. I mean, it's not hard to put sugar and water together and then, you know, it's not, but it's the combination of flavors and the tweaking of very small percentages that over time, I mean, it's me in my kitchen. I am the research and development department. Friends of mine are fortunate enough to be the ones invited to the, you know, the tasting trials where we all just enjoy cocktails and people give me feedback.
Is that one of those things that Holly maybe balances you with? I imagine for me, if I were creating a product like you, I would want 100 products. Again, yeah. A part of that is because I just really want to do everything yeah. in life. So the idea of starting a simple service, go, that sounds fun. I bet I could do that. Like that, yeah, let's do that. Which is why I've always kind of like jokingly vied, like I'm going to get 10% of Statesman just so that I can like have a toe in that pool. But I like, how do y'all balance that? Cause I think for me, I would be so excited of let's do the next thing. Let's do the next thing. Is it just a matter of the dollars and cents don't line up, or this is not a right time? Cause I know it's something you've talked about for years of we're going to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is in the beginning, I think I have at various times told Holly like, oh, I want to come out with 5 flavors next quarter, you know, and she has very wisely corrected me to say, you know, there's no possible way we're going to do that. After having now brought only 2 flavors to the market, I now have a much better understanding of the challenges that it takes to get there, that it's not just me in the kitchen, you know, putting stuff in bottles and bringing it to a market. Like there's a lot of steps in the process, including food safety testing, having our graphic designer create a new bottle, us getting new UPC codes, getting everything like approved, then getting the photography right, then, you know, it so on and so on. And that's all after we've found that I've developed the recipe that I actually like. So there was one recipe that we had basically settled on about 4 or 5 months ago, and we were starting the process of getting the marketing done for it and all that. And no kidding, about a month ago, somewhere right before Christmas, I decided to throw it out. Because I had a drink with it and I was like, you know what? It's not right. Like it's not there yet. And so I didn't go back to the drawing board completely, but I did scrap that. And so a part of it in the beginning, it was Holly keeping me in check. Now I think I keep myself in check by knowing that I want to make sure that I have the product itself fully done from a flavor standpoint before we go forward. And so a part of that is really deciding, does this stand up next to the other products we already have, or is this a shortcut? And some of the ones that I've made in the past, I sat on them for a few months and then I was like, no, this tastes like a shortcut. So yeah, that really now it's more of just a natural process of like, I'm maybe becoming too much perfectionist of the flavors, which I guess is in the long term, that's kind of a good thing for consumers because I want them to have the best. And I'm becoming a better critic of my own, experiments. So,
I mean, my perspective is that one of the great strengths of Statesman Beverage Company is the word of mouth kind of marketing that you guys have. I mean, I know that for me, it's something that I regularly recommend. I love giving it to clients as closing gifts. And so you've got that natural trust of this audience, of this consumer base. And I imagine while you might make a slight uptick in sales by releasing 5 new syrups because, oh, everybody's got to go try the new syrups, whatever. If they're not good, what that would do to like the trust and the relationship that you have with those people.
Right.
Even if the first 2 syrups are still just as good and they never go away, I think the damage that could be done to the brand mm-hmm. would be so hard that it might even change their mind on the first couple of syrups. So sure. There's probably some wisdom in that. Is there a misconception that you think people regularly have about Statesman, about being in the food industry product, like food product industry, or being a CEO that you feel like you're constantly either wanting to correct or having to correct in people?
I don't know. I mean, something that I get a lot is, or I see a lot of people say, especially in markets and earlier on, they were like, oh, so this is just sugar and water, or this, I could do that myself. And the short answer is, yeah, you absolutely could. Like there's no secret to how you make simple syrup. You can Google it. That's very easy. But it's the combination of, you know, we're providing a service by doing it for you. And we've done all the research and work to make the products great. So yeah, I guess maybe it's not a misconception. It's more of like, oh, that's easy, which it is. You know, I invite people to do that because it's a ton of fun. But the process of making it a profitable business is actually a lot harder than people expect. I mean, even when our price point is $15 for a bottle, the margins are not like $14 in my pocket and $1 in the bottle. Like it's very, very different than what people expect. Yeah. Turning a business into a profitable business, especially in the food industry, is an incredible amount of work. So that might be the misconception, is just that, oh, you've got a simple product, in air quotes, simple. But that doesn't mean that making a successful business is simple.
So. Well, and even I think the simple product, sure, because I have had a fair amount of Sir Winston's, I know that it's more than just two ingredients. So there's a handful of ingredients, and I wouldn't honestly know where to track down a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. Even if they were sold in the grocery store, which I don't know that all of them are, but even if they were, I sure as hell don't know where to find them in a grocery store. Less than get them and then put them together and then take the time and energy to learn the whole process. I mean, with real estate, yes, anybody can do it. Give, you know, $400, several hours of your life. I mean, probably a couple of weeks and you can have a real estate license and you pay a bunch of dues. It doesn't make you a great realtor. It doesn't mean that you actually can do what I do the way I do it.
And then so like more service oriented. I mean, both of them. I mean, you know, even though it's a product that I'm giving, that I'm selling, there's a service behind that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am doing this so that it is easier for you to make cocktails at home.
Yes.
That's the service that I provide in product form. And for you, clearly service being the knowledge and experience that you have in real estate of being able to answer people's questions, but also guide, you know, you're a guide through the process of home ownership, home selling, buying, whatever.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Any advice that you'd give to an entrepreneur, somebody who's thinking about starting a business, somebody who's in the thick of it, who it maybe is going well, maybe it's not, who is kind of doing it here in the Houston area or anywhere? Any advice that you'd throw out their way?
I would say just do it. I mean, action is the most important. Don't procrastinate. Just get on it. Like even if it's better to try and fail than to not have tried at all, or to be scared of trying. You're going to make mistakes and be okay with that. Actually, I'm going to read this quote. There's a book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. This quote popped out to me yesterday and I wrote it down because I was driving and I almost crashed because I was like, yes. But she said, on the other side of your fear is your freedom. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's life, right? Like, don't be afraid to take steps like that are going to get you there. Even if it does make you afraid, take those little baby steps. Just get started. You'll learn as you go. So.
Yeah. The lessons are invaluable, and you'll, my experience, but to jump on what you're saying is, you're also likely going to learn lessons that you didn't anticipate you'd learn.
Yeah.
So if someone tries to start a simple syrup business, well, you're probably going to learn how to make simple syrup. I hope if that's your goal, that you do end up, you learn how to make simple syrup, and you'll probably learn a lot about yourself. In your case, learning through your photography business, learning what kind of business partner you might need in any future venture, learning just the process of FDA compliance and all of that. That, I think when you were going through that, that was probably the most intimidating part. I was like, I would have been out. I'd have tapped out. I'd have been like, I have to do what? No, I'm good.
Yeah. I think it was in those moments that I absolutely needed a business partner to say, it's okay. It's just one step at a time. Like, and we weren't in like a crazy rush to get products out the door or anything. So it was just like, no, we're going to take the time to learn it. And yeah, I needed someone behind me with their hand on my shoulder, just like slowly pushing, you can do it. Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'll link all of the places where they can find you, buy your simple syrup. You're in all kinds of stores, both all over around Houston, but and across the country. So Bob Sutton, Statesman Beverage Company, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rusty. Appreciate it.
What a big thank you to Bob Sutton, the CEO, the co-owner and founder of Statesman Beverage Company, my former boss, my very good friend, my real estate client, all of the above. If you enjoyed this conversation, if you love craft cocktails but hate the hassle, or if you're looking for a gift for a craft cocktail aficionado in your life, be sure to go check out Statesman Beverage Company at their website, statesmanbeverage.co, or you can find them on Instagram at statesmanbevco. As I mentioned, today's episode is sponsored by Victoria Garcia Studios. Victoria runs an amazing photography company right here in Houston that specializes in personal brand photography. Not only does she offer brand shoots that include everything from creative direction, wardrobe, hair and makeup, but she also helps entrepreneurs like myself develop unique visions for their companies through free resources like her Brand Foundations Worksheet and Visual Aesthetics Cheat Sheet, which are offered for free on her website. I have personally worked with Victoria and her team, and it was by far and away one of the best photography experiences I've ever had. She helped me come up with the type of shots that we needed, what locations would be best, and helped coordinate the whole day. But most importantly, she produced epic photos that perfectly represented my brand and captured my unique personality. So whether you're a real estate agent like me, someone just trying to build a brand for the first time, or you've built a multi-million dollar company, head over to VictoriaGarciaStudios.com to book your call and see how she can take your brand to the next level. As with all kinds of small businesses, every bit of support goes a long way. So take a moment to rate, review, and share Houston Made with the one person you know who might be interested. Houston Made is hosted by me, Rusty Gates, produced and edited in collaboration with Luke Bronner. Our artwork was designed by Stephanie Leal and Sarah Alwegfi in collaboration with Mac Ryan Creative. Credit for our theme music goes to Old Friends, New Friends. Houston Made is glad to be a part of the Milieu Media neighborhood of podcasts and storytellers. We're people who care deeply about human connection, and in our neighborhood, we find that connection by hearing and appreciating one another's stories and by sharing our own. To find more shows made by amazing storytellers from all kinds of backgrounds, visit MilieuMedia.com.